Hello! Before we dive into this episode, I want to tell you about a series of career events being run by Food Matters Live in November 2022. It's a great opportunity for students from the fields of engineering, nutrition, and food science to network with other graduates and industry leaders and to learn essential skills that are going to help them shape the future. It's also a fantastic opportunity for companies to partner with us and meet those top graduates who are shaping the future of the industry. As if that wasn't enough, we'll also be recording some live episodes of this podcast at the events, and so you'll get to see what really happens behind this microphone. This is part of a series of live events we're planning, starting in London on the 1st and 2nd of November, and in Birmingham on the 7th of November. If you're running a course and think your students might be interested, or if you work in the food and drinks industry and would like the opportunity to meet these potential employees of the future, do please send us an email to info@foodmatterslive.com or go to our website, foodmatterslive.com, and search career events. Now, here's the podcast. Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, a series that's part of the Food Matters Live podcast. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. Today's guest is the fantastically knowledgeable and nice Dr. Miriam Ferrer, who is Head of Product Development at Future U Cambridge. Dr. M is an expert in cancer gene therapy and also one of the UK's leading experts in nutraceuticals. So stay tuned if you want to find out what those are, why they are better than plain old multivitamins, and what is the new superfood supplement we should all be taking. Her best career advice is find a job that makes you really happy and that works for you, not the other way around. And make sure you're really interested in your own career choice because it's going to be with you for many years. I'll be back at the end to talk about how a scientific degree could get you into a similarly exciting career path. But for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast. So if you got stuck in the rain at a bus stop with someone and had to explain to them in a nutshell what you do, what would you say?
I usually tell them that I develop food supplements, and then they look at me and they go, "You do what?" And then of course when I say, "But I'm a scientist," they go, I do get, it's a good conversation breaker, definitely, when people look like, "What?" especially because when they go, "Well, you're a scientist, what food supplements?" That's just cheap vitamins. And that's when you go, "Well, let me tell you about it."
Okay, so in layman's terms, what are nutraceuticals and how are they different to the kind of multivitamin supplements we can all buy down the shops?
I mean, when we talk about nutraceuticals, the term really comes from using nutritional ingredients into a more a pharmaceutical setting. So in the way in that historically we would use, again, chemical drugs that originally actually they've been coming from natural products and botanicals. They had just been very chemically modified. It's using those sort of natural products to address some health concerns and to make sure they can be used for promoting well-being. How are different from them, maybe the more generic vitamins and minerals, is that most of them, there will just be, again, normal vitamins and minerals with potentially most of us can get from our diets. But the nutraceuticals, they tend to be including a lot of the, maybe the more, not mystical, but some of botanicals or herbs or food compounds that are different from the standard, what everybody would consider a vitamin or a mineral. When they, what they have in mind, they would maybe think the standard vitamin C effervescence that they used to get when they're a bit hungover.
Okay, so what I don't understand is why is it that we can't get everything we need just by having a healthy, rounded, you know, rainbow diet that we keep hearing about, full of variety? Can't we get all of those things already just by eating the right foods?
I think we do and we don't. I think there is, there's always a lot of debate, I think, and in even in the clinical settings. I think we do, as you say, unfortunately, many of our food, because of the supply chain as it is, some of the fruit and vegetables will come from far away. They what I might pick up earlier, or by the time that they come to us, have been exposed to heat, light that might degrade some important vitamins, like for instance vitamin C, crop the way that we grow many of our crops means that the soil have been exhausted. So there's lots of data showing, particularly for instance in the UK, our soils have less magnesium or zinc than they used to be 70 years ago. And even the best of us, when we want to have healthy diets, let's be honest, we all know we can do better. It's just it doesn't fit with our lifestyles or with maybe even, again, economic situation. Or we just, some of us, we think, well, you know what, I don't fancy cooking from scratch. I'll just grab a ready meal. Because, again, we all have very busy lifestyles and it's not easy. We want to. I think we all want to, but we also understand that we might not get to the best. And sometimes also we might have dietary restrictions. If you are lactose intolerant or have an allergy to milk or wheat, you might be missing a lot of nutrients that come in those sort of products. So might not be by choice or even by lifestyle. If you can't have people that don't take milk, for instance, they'll be missing on some of the important fats, some of the iron or vitamin B12 that comes, I guess, ready pack in dairy products. So for some of us might be because of our lifestyle, for some of us might be because our diets just do not provide us with all those nutrients that we need to have in our diets.
So was this the job you thought you would do when you were a younger student, and where has it led you since? I mean, do you think you landed on the career path that everybody thought you would?
No, I don't at all. So I'm a molecular biologist. I study biology in the University of Barcelona. I started in biology because when I was at high school and I was about 15, I saw a documentary on DNA and the double helix, and I went, that's what I want to work on. So I wanted to do genetic engineering of all the things. And I was told, well, you have to study biology for that. So I went and studied biology. And then I was very lucky, and through grants and very lucky, I did manage to work on genetic engineering. So I did my PhD on cancer gene therapy. And it was great. And I love science. I've always liked science one way or another. I then came to Cambridge to work the Laboratory of Molecular Biology, which is it's now in a new building, but it's a very prestigious research place. And the first thing you see when you come in is the pictures of all the Nobel Prizes winners on that institute. You feel like, oh, no pressure. So I did a postdoctoral research there for 3 years on DNA repair. But then science, as any scientist know, it's very hard, and it's also depending on a lot of luck. You might have a great project and you can get nice results, or you might have a really hard project and work really, really hard and nothing comes out. And unfortunately, that was kind of the case for me. So it was quite, and at that time, I had already settled in Cambridge and I didn't want to then move along, which is another thing, unfortunately, with science. You end up going up and down, having to travel, which is great to some extent, but maybe at some point you want to settle and have a family and you don't want to keep moving from one place to the other. So I decided to move into industry, but I still wanted to use my science background because it's what I enjoy, but also what I was good at. And I work for a company that sells reagents to scientists. So again, I was selling the things I had used before, which again, I could use on my science knowledge because that was the language I talk. And then it became a big corporation and I didn't feel it was the right place for me. I enjoy smaller companies to work with because I like to know everyone, have nice discussions in the coffee chat, get to know what everybody's doing. So then how I end up coming to a future U Cambridge, because they were looking for a product manager, which was my previous experience, but with a science background, because the products we develop are based on ingredients which have a lot of scientific research behind them, which is then I am able to read through all of that and then being able to say, yes, I'm really happy with the science. I agree with what they say. And then I can also use my expertise to help the marketing team to translate all that sciencey knowledge that it can be a bit baffling for some people to try to help them translate it into much more layman terms, which then they can use to communicate that to many of our customers.
I often hear talk about people being either scientific or creative or artistic. And then you get those really clever people, a bit like you, who can do a bit of both.
Well,
do you think anyone can learn to be good at science?
I think you can learn. I think it's easier to learn to be artistic than to be scientific, because I think to be scientific, you have to have the training. You have to train your mind to get into those details and knowledge. And for instance, you say you're clever, but I find engineers are much, much cleverer than I are, or mathematicians or physicists, because they have to get all that mathematical information in their brains. I think biologists, we have the easy part of the science, because in a way we collect all that information and sort of put it together in the nice package of here's my cell, here it goes. And we observe what things happen instead of trying to figure out equations or putting together something and actually make it stable and then it sticks. But you can train it. Again, I became a scientist and that's what I've done, but I've learned myself to learning about project management, for instance, which is something that you need a lot in the product management side. Artistic, I've done marketing and I've had to learn a lot of what is interesting for a consumer. It's not just here's what I have, go and buy it. You have to make it interesting and a nice story and how that can be exciting to someone. And in the same way, many of my colleagues in the marketing team get excited by the science when I go to talk about them and they want to learn more. So yes, it just depends how much you're willing to put into, and also what interests you. If you're not interested, no matter how much you say, oh, I really should learn about this, if you're not interested, it's going to be very, very hard to really get the most of it.
For any students who are listening who feel stressed or anxious, have you got a good piece of simple advice for how they could look after themselves a bit better? I mean, we always hear about yoga and meditation, but, you know, frankly, it's not for everyone. Is there an essential food supplement that you would always recommend?
Definitely, I would say try to get the holistic approach. Again, surely there's many aspects. In the same way that a medicine will just not help you, a food supplement will just not help you unless you also do other changes. It's going to help you to maybe start the process. Definitely yoga and meditation are really great. But yeah, as you say, not everyone can have to. I would say this really badly, but obviously not coffee. Says the person who lived in coffee when I was at university. But again, try to think, is there small changes I can do? Maybe instead of having your 5 cups, have 3 cups. That will help you to relax. In terms of, food supplements can help. I don't think it's never too early. I was very dubious about food supplements before I started in this industry. And then I went, why did no one tell me about all these things I could have used before? Definitely, herbal teas is a very easy solution. Many of the supplements that we sell and we see in many markets are based on some of herbal teas, like for instance chamomile, lemon balm. Those are very good sources of molecules to help you relax. Ashwagandha is a food supplement, an ingredient that has gone very recently into the Western market, but has been used for centuries in India. And it has a whole of actions that can help with relaxation, stress, mood, which again, probably when you are stressed thinking, but studying is very, very mental stressing, can help with many of the different aspects, not just with the stress. Those are really good options to maybe look. And again, they are, most of them will be natural products. They're not caffeinated drinks, which again, with some of us probably drink a bit too much, they're not hiding sugar. So they can still keep your good lifestyle without feeling that you're going into maybe the much more not so great route, and they're not going to affect any of your lifestyles.
Nutraceuticals really does feel like this booming area of science and personalised, bespoke vitamins and supplements. They're only going to become more impressive thanks to people like you. Do you think this is an exciting field and a rewarding area for students who are listening to get into?
I think it's a very exciting career path. There's so many things going on and so many areas that you can be interested in. If you are more the artistic mind, again, all the marketing opportunities that you have about different areas, new consumer groups, new types of foods and beverage. There's a lot of, again, food companies that are going into the much more nutraceutical or supplementation space. If you want the technical side, of course, there's the science bit, but there's also the manufacturing side. Many ingredients that we use are not suitable to all types of formulations. You might just have to have it in a capsule or in a liquid because that's the only way you can make it. If someone can come up with, let's change this, make it all new, that's a great game changer. And another area which I think is quite exciting in food industry, it's the upcycling and recycling of materials. Again, going back to sustainability and the issues we have in our current environment and climate, there's a lot of new exciting companies, big and small, that I see that they start developing ingredients from waste, whether it's just banana peels or apple peels or cores, or from leftovers, maybe grain. That's a great area, I think, to explore and very exciting, say, technically, but also, again, marketing. You're getting a whole new ingredient for you to sell to the world. How exciting is that? So I think, yeah, depending, as you say, whether you have a technical mind or a much more artistic marketing mind, the food science is amazing. It's really great area to get involved into.
It's me again. So that was the impressive and lovely down-to-earth Dr. Miriam. I really liked her attitude towards work. She talked about the importance of putting money and ambition for ambition's sake aside and just concentrate on finding work that you actually enjoy with colleagues you like and want to spend time with. Even ones you can have a good gossip with over a cup of coffee. It is simple but often overlooked advice, especially when we're young and starting out and we feel the need to be driven only by goals. Meanwhile, she thinks her field is a super exciting one to join and that in the future, nutrition will become even more personalised and effective. When getting into medical or nutritional new product development like Dr. Miriam, there's no getting away from the fact that you're going to have to study sciences. Biology is where Dr. Miriam excelled, but chemistry is also an excellent gateway and project management skills will always be handy. Your career might begin with a technician role or an internship where you'd be paid about £25,000. But with the right continued learning, you can quickly become a researcher involved in potentially life-changing projects, eventually taking the lead on those. At mid-level, you'd be on around £45,000 to £50,000, going up to £80,000 and well beyond for those senior roles in large companies. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Miriam. I will try to be healthier. And thank you for listening. Cut down on the coffee. Till next time, goodbye. Before you go, just a reminder about those career events. They're happening in London and Birmingham on the 1st, 2nd and 7th of November. For more information, email info@foodmatterslive.com or go to our website, foodmatterslive.com, and search career events.